Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone between. Welcome to the first episode of this podcast, where we are going to take a look into a film that portrays a very specific trope. This film was made in 1996, so it is relatively old. And this film is no other than The Craft. This film is a classic and has a very good story behind it. The trope behind the story, which some of you may be wondering, is no other than the infamous trope of Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. But since this film is kind of serious, it does not come up without a twist. This film does deal with some serious issues, like suicide and a man forcing himself upon a woman, but that's as worse as it gets, and I'll try to skip over those as much as I possibly can. Now, before we actually start talking about this film and going into detail about it, we are going to take a few second break for you to get all situated and ready for this podcast, and here we go. Welcome back from that little break. Hopefully you are nice and situated. Let's begin with the rest of the podcast. But before we actually start going into the trope about this movie, we must go through the movie and how it progresses. So let's get started. The movie starts off with three young women chanting, "Ours is the power, now is the time. This is the hours, ours is the magic." After that happens, we are thrown into a sick intro with flashy images and weird symbols and like some like witchy stuff. Then a very nice rock song plays, which is called "Tomorrow Never Knows" by Ladies Peace. And once, like, after all those flashy images happen and the rock song starts, the screen turns white for a little bit, and then we're in the sky. It's kind of like we're flying. And this movie, personally to me, is one of my favorites, and I can watch it over and over again. But anyways, and then like the same rock song plays for a while, and then we get on this plane and we're introduced to the protagonist of this family, Sarah, who's played by Robin Tooney, and she's sitting next to her dad and her stepmother. And fun fact about Sarah, Robin Tooney, she was bald due to her being in another film that was happening that she was just acting in. And she was wearing wigs during the whole movie. But anyways, this family is moving to a new house. And that means Sarah is going to a new school. And but that's a little bit farther up ahead. And so as Sarah and her family are starting to pull up in a driveway in a taxi to their new house, Sarah sees a snake on a tree, which is important, so remember that. Sarah and her parents go into their house, and then there's a leak in the roof, and one of the many things that are sure to go wrong in this film. Of course, this discourages Sarah, but her parents are looking at the bright side, like, oh, this room is big. Oh, these type of drapes would look good here and all that good jazz. And so because Sarah's a little bit discouraged, she goes up to her room, kind of unpacks a little bit, sets down a picture of a beautiful woman who you'll later find out is her biological mom. And do you remember that snake from earlier? Well, as Sarah starts to look through the boxes downstairs, a mysterious man with the same snake around his shoulders comes in, and he asks her, do you want it? And she starts to freak out, and he's like, why are you freaking out? Don't freak out. And so Sarah's dad comes down and fends off the strange man. Skip a few seconds, Sarah's off to her new school right away with like, and she goes to a Catholic school, and she doesn't have any of the outfits, so she immediately stands out, people look at her and that stuff. And then we are shown the three young women from the beginning of the movie, walking down the hallways, and people are, and like these two guys are looking at them and making fun of them because, you know, they look like, one looks like a goth and the other two are just kind of like normal looking, but like this place obviously doesn't have a strict restrictions on their dress code because the students kind of wear what they want. And these three girls, names are Bonnie, Rochelle, and Nancy, played by, in the same order as the character's name, Nevi Campbell, Rachel True, and Fairuza Bulk. We are shown that these women are the outcasts, and that's how they wear their outfits and that stuff. We are then put into a room with the French teacher, and Sarah and the other three girls, and the other three girls are in the same room. We are then shown here that Sarah is very smart, and she knows her French very well as well. As a kid is joking around and all that stuff, she fires back at him in French, and the kid didn't know what she said. But then we're also shown that Sarah's not quite as normal as she seems. She's a bit supernatural, you can say. And she puts her pencil on her desk, laid down, and she starts twirling it with her own mind into the desk. And of course, Bonnie. No, excuse me. Yeah. Then Bonnie sees her doing this, and Sarah notices that Bonnie sees this, and the pencil stops and drops onto the desk and onto the floor. And Sarah pretends she didn't. It didn't happen. Then Bonnie goes into a classroom where the other two women are, tells them about it, and says that she's the fourth person that they've been looking for, to invite into the circle to complete it. Sarah then comes into the room that they're in. They share like two classes together. And she sees this, she could be in their lab group because she's supposed to have one in here. And they don't really invite her at all, not until a little bit later. Then we get to the scene where Sarah's reading on her own at lunch, and she's eating on her own, and the popular guy comes up. His name is Chris, and he comes up to talk to her. Sarah asks him about the three girls, and he says mean things about them, and says that Bonnie has a bunch of scars over her body from a fire, and talks about Nancy in a very rude way, and warns Sarah to stay away from them. He then goes further and mentions the rumors that they're witches. Later after school, Sarah is watching Chris practice football because he invited her there. The three girls then come up to Sarah, and some of their thoughts and experience with that Chris, they share that with her. They also dish back, give a taste of Chris's medicine to her by mentioning the rumors and all that stuff about Chris. And Nancy says she knows from personal experience that he's not a good guy. And then they invite Sarah to tag along with them, and they head to a shop that sells like some stuff you'll see in a lot of witchcraft. We then learn that these girls steal as well, so they're not like their influence isn't quite the best on her. We then see that Sarah's being pulled to a room, but the lady of the store stops her and then pulls her to the counter, wondering if she's going to buy the items that she picked out, unlike her friends. So it seems like the lady that works there, who owns the place, is aware that those girls steal. Sarah, of course, pays, and we see the girls walking out at night in a different part of the city. And we then see the same guy from the beginning of the movie warning her about some disturbing stuff that is going to happen to her. We see Sarah freak out, and the girls are just watching as Sarah runs away from this dude, and he then gets hit by a car. We then we see the girls run away from it, and we find out later that the girls thought they wanted him to get hit by a car. We then see that the girls explain the deity that they worship, and they say that Manon is more than a god, is more than God and the devil. The girls, then Sarah says that stuff like the pencil have always happened to her, but in a more screwed up way. Like, she'll wish for silence, and then she goes deaf for 3 days. Nancy is kind of a skeptic and doesn't believe it. Then Sarah's like, yes, is like, yes, it does, and gives another example. Sarah then gets freaked out by the girls and all that stuff that's happening, and she heads to her house. Then, about 24 hours later, we see her in another scene with the guy Chris on top of a building. And in the scene, he jokes about her. He jokes around with her about the three girls that she was hanging out with, and he bullies them behind her back in a joking way, and she laughs about it. As the scene continues, he then kisses Sarah, invites her to a house where no one's at. Sarah, being smart, says no, and she heads home. We then see Bonnie, Nancy, and Rochelle come up to her and tell her about the mean rumors Chris has said about her. We then see Sarah confront him about it, and he then in turn bullies her, and his other friends bully Sarah as well. After that moment, this is when Sarah joins Nancy and them. We then get thrown into a scene where Rochelle is about to jump off a diving board for her class, and then one of the mean girls named Laura yells shark. This causes Rochelle to fail and mess up her dive. And then we go into the room where they're cleaning up and that stuff, the locker room. And Rochelle confronts her. And then Rochelle's like, "Why don't you like me?" to Laura. And Laura said that she doesn't like her because of the color of her skin, the fact that she's after African American, but she said in a more mean way where she used the N-word. And then we are beginning to see that the girls are more complex, the outcasts of the school, and treated with a lot of disrespect. They're bullied a lot. We then go to a scene where Bonnie is about to get a new type of treatment that is still in testing, and this testing is extremely painful for Bonnie. This is also one of the two scenes where we see Bonnie's burn scars. After the scene of Bonnie's procedure, we get a flash of Sarah being asleep and getting flashbacks of when she attempted to take her life. We then get pulled to Nancy heading home, where there is a storm and electricity goes out because of the storm that is happening. Whenever Nancy is home, we see her mom severely drunk and accusing her stepdad of not paying the bill. Then he proceeds to tell her that a storm is happening and she doesn't know it. And then she's like, "Oh, there's a storm." And then she's like, "Oh, the neighbor's house's lights aren't off." And she's like, and then she starts accusing him of not paying the bill again. And we then see Nancy. We then see Nancy starting to cry and is really upset. These scenes show us that the lives of these kids are really light, are like really complex, and they have a lot on their plates. We see the girls on a bus ride, and then see them complete their circle with some sort of ritual, and then they each one has only one wish, and by drinking out a cup and praying to Manon, then a massive butterfly comes. Then they realize that Manon has heard them and is watching. This scene is also where we are seeing the wanting of power from of Nancy. from Nancy. We see that these wishes the girls have made are coming true, except for Nancy's. It is not until a later scene when her wish comes true. Bonnie's also doesn't come true till later, but her wish was to be beautiful and her scars are erased from her body. It looked like the procedure worked. The girls are now having a sleepover and playing the infamous game, light as a feather, stiff as a board, and it works. Rochelle is floating there, but it ends once Bonnie's mom barges in and she falls. We then see the girls' confidence go up and they become closer as a group, but jealousy sets in for Nancy, as her wish hasn't come true yet. Unlike the others, we also find out that Sarah's mom died while having her, and that's the reason she tried to do what she did to herself. Now we are back at the diving board after Sarah did a spell to make it where, like, if Laura was ever mean to Rochelle, that something bad would happen to Laura. So Laura got mean to her, and she takes off her cap from swimming, and her hair starts to fall out. And because of this, she didn't have enough time to bully Rochelle, and Rochelle makes the perfect dive and surprises the teacher. We then go to the doctors and see that Bonnie's scars are now being peeled off completely and are completely gone by the end of the day. Bonnie now comes to school very late and shows off her scarless body. We then see Nancy, at her home, where her stepdad tries to pick up her robe and her mom hits him, telling him to stop. He then gets angry and tries to hit her mom. This triggers Nancy to start screaming to stop and get off her, and then causes electricity to go haywire and causes a massive shortage, while also giving her stepdad a heart attack, which causes her and her mom to get loads of money to them, and they buy a huge apartment, and then the girls have a sleepover where they learn how to glamour, basically changing your appearance. We then get a scene where Chris is calling for Sarah's name, and she tells him to go, and her dad does the same thing. Chris tells her that he can't do anything because he's always just thinking about her. Sarah goes to the woman after this, asking how to reverse a love spell, but the woman says that it just has to run its course, and that's it. Then we see the four young women on a beach getting ready to invoke the spirit of Manon, which later Nancy does invoke him, but she rewords the phrases into only evoking him into her. And this causes lightning to strike her, which leads everyone passing out and finding Nancy walking on water towards them. We also see a bunch of beach sharks. Nancy says this is Manon's gift to them. In the next few scenes, we see Nancy starting to become very reckless and dangerous to her friends, driving past red lights that she turned green, and Sarah is warning her to stop and that she's being dangerous and wants out, but Nancy fires back and says that she doesn't want to do that, so Sarah doesn't back out. We also see that Laura's hair loss is getting worse and worse. Then we get a scene where Chris takes Sarah on a date, and this is where he tries to force himself on her, and she manages to escape with dirty clothes and runs to Rochelle's house. We then see that the other girls are there too, and Sarah tells them what happens. This makes Nancy mad, and it seems like somewhat jealous. So Nancy goes to the party where Chris is at and glamors herself to look like Nancy. She then tries to do stuff with him, but she is interrupted by Sarah and Nancy. She's interrupted by Sarah, and Nancy starts to get really mad at Chris and says he has to pay for what he has done. She then starts chanting, "You don't even exist," over and over again, along with other phrases as well. And she starts levitating with her feet dragging on the floor towards him, and he backs up away from her from like fear. Then she flings him out the window with her mind, and he's dead. This traumatic event scares Sarah, and she tries to bind Nancy because of the harm that she's doing, but it doesn't work. And this angers Nancy's, and it causes her to go after Sarah in her dreams and causing her nightmares. Nancy is now officially out of the circle because of this, for they are becoming toxic and they're being ruined by the amount of power that they possess. Sarah then goes to the woman witch store, the woman's witch store, and says she needs protection from the other girls. The woman finally lets Sarah in the back of the room and says that her mom was a witch and that Sarah's possessed a tremendous amount of power and light in her, more than any witch she has ever known. And the back of the room is like a little temple thing that apparently was built on a place of power. Then the woman also said that the other only way that she can fight against Nancy and the other girls is to invoke the spirit, which Nancy scares Sarah off before she can. Sarah runs home out of fear, and Nancy is already there, casting illusions to scare Sarah even more. Nancy then goes and cuts Sarah's wrist, trying to kill Sarah. Then this then causes Sarah to run up to her room and cry. As Sarah is laying there, Sarah tries to invoke the spirit of Manon. But Rochelle and Bonnie go up there, but before they can make it to her room to see if she's dead, Sarah casts a glamour spell to make it look like that. To make it look like that Bonnie was scars have spread up to her face, and that Rochelle's hair is completely fallen out. Then, after that happens, Sarah starts to invoke Manon again. And as she's doing this, she hears her mom's voice saying that she is strong and to trust herself and reach down deep into herself. She has the power. And then Sarah successfully invokes the spirit of Manon, healing her wounds from her wrists. And Bonnie and Rochelle run off, and so all that's left is Nancy. And then Sarah and Nancy go toe-to-toe against each other. And the battle was very tough for both Nancy and Sarah. But Sarah was able to outsmart Nancy and then defeat her. And then Sarah successfully binds Nancy, causing Nancy to be sent off to a psychiatric care and the other girls to be powerless due to them not having the third or fourth members of the circle. We finally make it to the end where Bonnie and Rochelle go up to Sarah's house, where they begin to pack up and move again for what it seems, but I think they're just unpacking the rest of the stuff that they have. And they go up to Sarah and apologize, then ask if she still has powers and invites her to do some chanting and like that witch stuff somewhere. Sarah then says, "Hold your breath until I call." When Rochelle then jokes, which Rochelle then jokes and suggests she doesn't have any powers anymore, causing Bonnie to laugh, which causes Sarah to call a storm and call down lightning to make a tree fall down from the girls, which causes the girls to fall and then be scared. Sarah then warns them that they better be careful because they don't want to end up like Nancy. Now, this is where we talk about the trope of the story. This is where the movie ends. As you could tell, this movie is quite a trip and does have a lot of things in it. It is packed with a lot of stuff and shows that the main characters are more complex than their outer appearances would give them. Overall, you can see how power changes the girls over the course of the movie. We see that Bonnie becomes more confident in her looks and she starts to flirt with a bunch of guys and becomes more selfish and narcissistic. Rochelle is more or less herself. She just feels more self-conscious of herself. Nancy is shown to be the one that changes most of all, but in a negative way. Nancy's hunger for power was too much. Once she started to get it, she started to use it without hesitation or regards of others but herself. Nancy uses her power for just herself. Sarah was using her power as a way to help her friends, but we see her come out of her shell as the story progresses. But once Nancy gets the power she wants, Sarah goes back to how she was in the first bit of the movie. However, once Sarah gets the power to defend herself and stop Nancy, she does. And she doesn't really use her powers unless she has to. We see once she stops Nancy, she's a lot happier and she's more herself and her confidence back. She's back to how she was around the middle part of the movie. And that's basically what happens. And as you can see, the hunger of power corrupted 3/4 of the friend group. And you can kind of see why with great power comes great responsibility.